This evening, we are going to look at being led by the Holy Spirit. Last week, we mentioned about how to number our days. Remember, how to count your days, how to prepare your day, how to appoint your day. And we say one of the ways is if we are led by the Spirit, we are a prophetic generation where we can be led by the Holy Spirit. Amen. But this subject is a huge subject. To talk about being led by the Spirit, I think we can take a whole month or even months, because some people say it's the art of hearing God, the art of being led by God. It is an art. Art means something to learn, is something to acquire the skill. Some people say it's, some people call it the science, the science of being led by the Holy Spirit. So whether it's an art, I hear a beeping sound. Eh? Beeping. Do you hear? No. Oh, agreement. The angels say amen. So whether it's an art or a science, whatever it is imperative, it is of utmost importance for every one of us to learn to be led by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Do you agree with me? It is not just a nice phrase. It is in the Bible. Let's look at Romans chapter 8. I'm just picking out the words right from the verse. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. Let's read verse 14 and 15. If you have your Bible with you. Romans chapter 8, verses 14 and 15. You have it? Let's read it together if you are ready. One, I say I'll count slowly. Two, three, go.
Radio.
Oh, yeah, right. Oh, yeah. Okay, well, I recount. One. Brother Joseph says, Sister Rosie. Eight verses 14 and 15. Praise the Lord. So happy to hear the turning of page sound. No?
All the beeping sound.
No need to.
Okay.
Let's do it. Verses 14 and 15. One, two, go. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. 15. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. Do you have it? Different verse, different version, is it? All have, right? Abba, Father, right? You have that. So before we look deeper into these two verses, maybe it's being, you know, we have this small group of people, we can have a more interactive session. If you and I are not led by the Spirit, what are you led by? Okay, let's not even talk about if you are not led. Usually, in our life, what leads us to do what you do? What leads you to do what you do? Have you ever thought of that? Because here we are talking about our lives being led. Led means what? Someone will lead you, right? Dipimpin, dituntun oleh Roh Kudus. Pimpin, right? Lead you, pimpin, lead you, leader. A leader tells you what to do, right? So if, before going there, what are you led by in your life? Yes, you lift your hands. That's the first answer you have. Usually in your life, why do you do what you do? Who lead you to do that?
Routine.
It's a routine, correct. Some things we do because of habit, routine. Familiarity. Every day I wake up, sure, brush my teeth, and that one goes without saying it.
Hungry.
Hungry is different. Hungry is not by routine. Surely you have a hunger. You are driven.
Every morning you have the same time.
Oh, that's a biological clock, is it? Same time you will feel hungry.
Oh,
really, yeah?
Or at night you got the same time you want to go to
sleep. You have a clock inside of us, right? The more you do it, it becomes a clock. It sets whether you know or not. Suddenly you feel a hungry, same time every day. That is right. You do out of routine. What else? What do you do? What leads you? We have to know, right? So that we can differentiate. Hey, you don't tell me today I'm led by the Spirit to have breakfast. Correct, right, you don't say that. That's why when you are able to distinguish, this is what I do habitually.
Unless it's special breakfast.
I'm led by the Spirit to have special breakfast.
Unless you. Not normal.
Gluttony.
I think the craving of our flesh.
We are led by the craving of our flesh. Correct. We do what we do sometimes because of our flesh. Very theological term. Coming from Brother Joseph. Flesh. Correct or not? We crave something, that's why we do. Okay, there are many things like the appetite of the flesh. Okay, we'll go deeper into that in a short while. What else? Why do you do what you do? The craving of your flesh, habitually. What else?
Interest.
Out of your interest, you are led by what you like. Yes. Your likes and your dislikes. Correct or not? You do certain things, you know, you don't do certain things because you don't like also. So your likes and your dislikes lead you, your preference, desire also. You are also led by your desire. Correct? A person who has a desire to come, they will come. Right? Okay, what else? Actually, sometimes we do what we do because of what we know also. Is it right? You know you have to do this, you do it. It's your mind leading you. Sometimes it's your heart, your desire, your likes or your dislike. There is a combination of your heart and your mind, right? Correct? So your mind leads us. Our parents teach us when we are younger, we receive formal education. Those things equip our mind to lead us to do what we do today. That is from the aspect of your mind. Our education, our experience. Sometimes we are led by doing what we do because of our experience. I've gone through this before. So the next time I'm going through this now, based on what I experienced 5 years ago, I do what I do. But do you see or not? If you do what you do based on your experience, might not necessarily be led by the Spirit. Correct? We can be led by our experience. A pastor, a minister, an anointed servant or whoever also can be led by the experience. I've been preaching for so many years. Surely this is how God's going to do it. So my experience leads me to do what I do. May not necessarily be led by the Spirit. Amen? You get it? We do what we do also because of what we know through our culture. You know, why do you take off your shoes when you come in here? This is Asian culture, right? You go to the Western world, they walk into the house with the shoes on. They sleep and then they take off your shoes. You come in, you go like that to...
But with the socks on.
Socks on, yeah? You go into Brother Albert's house and then he will ask you to go out. Walk. Can I walk inside the house with shoes? Can I?
Very nice.
If
your shoe is dry, not wet with mud.
If it is muddy and wet, very nice host. Very good. But as a culture, we don't do that. Even as much as I want to do it, I go in, I look at Brother Albert, he's a Chinese, he's an Asian, I don't do that. Of course, he doesn't have to go through so long processing. You know it in your mind automatically, right? Your mind, through your culture, through education, through experience, leads you. Second way, women are more familiar. You're led by your
emotions.
Women are very much aware. Correct? Right? Men are more logical with the mind. I know this is what I do. They're the books I read, the self-help books tell me, if I want to have more friends, this is what I do. I'm led by what I know in my mind. But a woman, I have sixth sense, I'm not going to near that person. You know, that person, the face like a very, very, he will bite me one, very something one, you know. Does a woman or the lady learn it from anywhere? No.
It's just really intuition.
Intuition, a sixth sense, the emotion, right? Guys, try as hard as you may. I don't see anything what's wrong with me talking to that person. Then the woman is like, what do you mean? You don't see that? So clear, so obvious, can't you feel it? Then look at that person. It's all giving a signal. I'm going to cheat you.
They can put it as a led by their instinct.
Instinct, intuition.
Wow.
Right? Correct? Instinct.
Right.
Women lah have that. Correct? But some guys also lah. No, we don't differentiate between the sexes, the gender. But it is more manifest in one gender than the other, right? So that's all the emotion. I just feel. So that's how we are Led by. And sometimes it's external factors. Like people force you. You can't don't have a choice. Mm-hmm. Government say like that. Can you be led otherwise? Government say you have to do this. You don't have a choice. Correct? That's external. So when we talk about external source, not just government. Government is a nice thing. Some people are in a bondage. So it's beyond their control. They do what they do because of the spirit overpowering them. They may not be led by the Holy Spirit. They may be led by the wrong spirit because they are in a bondage.
Addiction.
A person who is, sorry?
You mean addiction?
Can be addiction, yeah. A person who is addicted to something, they are bound by that thing, the spirit of lust, spirit of lie, you know. So everything they say is always lying, in a lying spirit. In the Bible, there's a lying spirit inside him, a lying tongue. So that is beyond him already. So just by looking at these few examples is to help us to be able to distinguish. So what you do, why you do what you do, who leads you to do what you do, becomes clearer when you look at your own life. Why not take one day, at the end of the evening, think what you do throughout the day, what was the thing that led you? What was the thing that led you? People learn better when they analyze, when they go through their lives. Amen? Okay, but I want to give you a paint another picture. Let's go back to Romans chapter 8, verse 14. It says, As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are sons of God. So, the Holy Spirit, we have many symbols, right? With many things. It's not nice to say things to symbolize the Holy Spirit, right? But there are many forms that represent the Holy Spirit in his function, right? One of them is the wind, right? Holy Spirit is known as wind. Hello? Do you know, right? You are aware, right? Holy Spirit is like a dove. It's like a fire, right? Every time you see the symbol, like a dove is the Holy Spirit. Fire is like the Holy Spirit. Wind also symbolizes the Holy Spirit. So when I picture a person led by the Holy Spirit, can be also a person led by the wind. If you think this is a bit odd, this is very biblical from John chapter 3, verse 8. If you have your Bible, look at John chapter 3, verse 8. This is during the conversation between Jesus and the Pharisee named Nicodemus. In their conversation, Jesus began to tell Nicodemus, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. You cannot enter the kingdom of God. Come read for me, Benji. John chapter 3, verse 8.
The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it cometh, or whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit.
Isn't that interesting? A person who is born of the Spirit will be led by the Spirit. Amen? And the picture we have here is like the wind. The wind blows where it wishes. Do you have who can control the wind? You can't. The wind blows where it wishes. You hear the sound of it. But you cannot tell where it comes from. You cannot tell where it goes. Wow. Jesus himself gave this picture. A picture of a person, an image of a person being led by the Spirit of God is like a person led by wind. There are many confirmations today. You have beeping sound, you have all kinds of music. All the spirit realm is agreeing, concurring. Amen. So do you see that? How beautiful it is. So, but to a person and a logical person like you and me, would you like to live your life like that? Blows where you wish. I go where I wish. I blow, go where the Holy Spirit wants me to go. I hear the sound, I'll go. I don't know where it comes from, where it goes. Wow. Very troublesome, huh? Cannot find you one. Cannot go to work also. Yeah, you go, my office boss asks you, hey, how come today 10 o'clock you don't come to report to work? The wind blows very vicious. Tomorrow don't have to come. The wind, boss, you have to understand. The wind blows very vicious. You do not know where it comes from, you do not know where it goes. I am born of the Spirit, I'm led by the Spirit. So don't fall into the error extreme. No such thing, right? But why did Jesus give this picture? We will see it in a moment and it will become very clear to us. But let's go back to Romans chapter 4. We cannot just look at Romans chapter sorry, Romans chapter 8, I'm sorry. We cannot just look at Romans chapter 8, verse 14 in isolation. Let's look at the context of Romans chapter 8. You know, Romans was written by the Apostle Paul. We are all aware, right? You are very much aware of the verse where he says, why I do what I don't want to do, but I don't do what I must do. Do you know that rhetoric question that Paul is famous for in Romans? Those are in Romans chapter 7. Okay, in Romans chapter 6, there has been a description of flesh, of sin and all that. Then Romans chapter 7 talks about the struggle within a Christian, in a heart. I don't understand, you know, nothing good dwells in me, it seems. What I want to do, I cannot do. I don't do. But what I don't want to do, I do. Right? Paul was very honest to describe the real situation of many Christians. I already am a Christian. Why is this happening? You have that, right? Do you have Romans chapter 7? You see that? Romans chapter 7. So that is the context of what we are looking at. If you just look at verse 7, now if I do what I do, not what I agree the law. There was a debate on the law, there was a discussion and many rhetoric questions about the power of law and the power of sin. And then Paul ended with a very victorious note. Remember? In verse 25 of verse chapter 7. First it says in verse 24, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? He acknowledged his condition. Who will deliver me from this body of death? Then he gave the answer himself. He asked the question, this is a rhetoric question. He asked and he gave the answer himself. Thanks be to God. The answer is in Jesus Christ our Lord. When I serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law. So he said, thanks be to God, he has the answer. It is through Jesus Christ. So when we enter in chapter 8, it starts with a very important foundation. Before he reaches verse 14, when we talk about being led by the Spirit, to understand being led by the Spirit, we have to understand this very, very important basic foundation. If you are still under condemnation, you and I cannot be led by the Spirit. It'll be hanging on our mind all the time. I'm a condemned person. God doesn't like me. God wants to punish me. So anything that happens is a result of God punishing me. So whatever you do, you think it's the Holy Spirit, you're thinking God is out there to judge me, to punish me. So Paul started with a very clear foundation. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Very important, not just to know it in our minds, but we have to get the truth in our hearts. I'm not condemned anymore. But each time I sin, I must come to God to confess my sins. God will cleanse me. God will purify me. This must be very clear in our minds. If we still have unconfessed sins, the condemnation is a must. It's a natural thing. If I still have unconfessed sin, the natural consequence is I will feel guilty and I'll feel condemned. It's the natural course it takes. But until and unless I confess, I receive God's forgiveness, He takes away the guilt, He takes away the condemnation, I can once again have a clean slate to begin with and be led by the Holy Spirit. Amen. I want you to read now from verses 4 to verses 8 before we go to verse 14. If you have Romans chapter 8, read verse 4 to verse 8. Who can help me? Brother Justin, can you help me? Verse 4 to verse 8.
To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritual.
spiritual mind is life and peace, because the carnal mind is an enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God.
Okay, we stop there. We started with Apostle Paul making very clear, let's not have condemnation. Let's not live under condemnation. Then now he said, once you are free from condemnation, this is what Brother Joseph tells us. We are susceptible to be led by our flesh. Right? Then now Paul makes a clear distinction. He says in a different way. You know, there are people who walk according to the flesh or who live according to the flesh. They set their mind on the things of the flesh. Okay? So when you walk, when you live, when you set your mind on the flesh, you are led by the flesh. Right? And Paul says, these type of people, they are hostile to God. They cannot please God. Does it ring a bell in your mind? It says, those who walk in the flesh, set their mind on the things of the flesh, cannot please God. Where else do you hear that? Cannot please God. In Hebrews chapter 11, without faith, it is impossible to please God. You marry the two together. When you are walking in the flesh, you are not walking in faith. Do you know what is walking in flesh? You are no longer walking in faith. And when you are walking in the flesh, you are not led by the Spirit. You do not please God. You are in hostility towards God. Whatever you do is against God. So Paul is beginning to set the stage for what he wants to tell us in verse 14. Right? Let's see this very clearly. He's starting a story. He writes an essay, a composition. The focus he wants to, the climax, the highlight of that is being led by the Spirit. Okay? So he starts by saying, hey, you want to be led by the Spirit, you must be not under any condemnation. Number two, you must realize the power of the flesh still inside you. If you are led by the flesh, you will not please God. It means you will not be led by the Spirit. Then from verse 9 onwards, Paul introduced the spiritual truth of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Now you know flesh will keep on. What is flesh? Okay, maybe we talk so long, I don't know what is flesh. What is flesh? Flesh, is it your... Is it this? What is flesh? What is flesh, Sister Joy?
Mind.
Your mind?
Our nature?
Wow, now see, different answer. Maybe not. Soul? Anymore? Sister Cherry, what is your flesh? Soulish. Soulish? Everybody has different idea now. Thank God I stopped to ask. Can be mind, soul, nature. What was it, Sister Joy? Just now you said, your mind. Yeah, mind. Sister Cherry? Desire, is it? Everybody different. What is the flesh? The carnal nature. The theologian has spoken. We have two theologians today. One is Brother Joseph. The second is Brother Albert. See, very, very wise one, Brother Joseph. He just now he answered it. This one he led it for another theologian to speak. That's the wisdom of a theologian. And you don't know, keep quiet. Just watch. What is the carnal nature? Oh, you're too deep, like theologian. Can you go down a bit? What is carnal nature? Do you know? Do you know what's carnal nature? Very hard to explain.
Your desire.
See, go back to your desire. Too deep.
Sinful nature.
Sinful nature? Your old man. Okay? Your old man. Now everybody understand? This one, even fisherman and whoever also can understand. Old man. Your old man. Don't say your old man is your husband or your Hokkien is why lao, eh? You know? Cantonese also like that, is it? Your old one means your husband. So old man is not talking about your husband or your parent, your father or anything, okay? Inside of us, there are two persons, right? The old person is the unregenerated person. Before we come to Jesus, that's who we are. Okay? I give an example. My name is Alan, for example. Before I become Jesus, become a Christian, I'm old Alan. You get it? When I become Jesus, when I become a Christian, I ask Jesus to come in, I become a new Alan. What happened to the old Alan?
No more.
Hey, theology. Still there.
Still there.
There's an old Alan and a new Alan inside of me.
Alan King.
You know, you're scared, right? How come inside got 2%? Instead of a flesh. That's why Jesus keeps saying, or the Paul also say, die to your flesh. It's still there. Don't let your flesh rule. Don't yield to your flesh. Yield to the spirit. Okay, I give you one free lesson, a bit one. This is what I taught when I went to Batu Pahat that day, I told you, all right? This is what I taught them, right? When a person becomes a Christian, what happened to their spirit? A theologian will say the spirit got regenerated. Nobody will understand that. Bible will say the spirit got born again. Simple, right? That means you've got a new spirit. Everyone can understand. New Alan has a new spirit. The new spirit can talk to God. The old spirit was always dead to God. Remember, Adam and Eve, they commit sin. Jesus, God said, you will surely die. So they dead already, the spirit. When they become a Christian, the spirit comes alive. Now, can you understand? Right? The spirit, the spirit comes alive. That's what happened when you become a Christian. How many parts do you have, Sister Veronica? Spirit?
Soul and body.
Three parts, right? When you become a Christian, what happens to your body? Sister Rosie? Your body also reborn. Now everybody learn from Brother Joseph, don't say anything. What happened to your body when you become a Christian? Do you become more endowed, more handsome, more pretty? A fat person becomes slimmer?
No, the same. No.
No? No change, really?
No, the body is the same.
The body is the same? Are you sure? Do you agree? Do you agree? So it's a relaxed a bit today, so that you get to know one another. Body has no change. No change. What changed was the spirit, right? The spirit changed. Your spirit alive. Suddenly your spirit is alive. You are conscious of God's presence, of His love. No change to the body. Some people may have changed because of divine healing. But he was still the old person. Some, they haven't believed Jesus, they received healing. Then the preacher will ask, do you want to become Christian? You want to believe Jesus right now? So he received a miracle, but that has nothing to do with salvation. And that has nothing to do with the process of being born again. Born again is just your spirit. Everyone agree? No change to your body, agree? Just now, Sister Veronica said you had three parts. What happened to your soul? Spirit, we say, become alive. Body, we say, no change. What happened to your soul? What is the soul? Tell me.
The mind.
Mind, your heart, emotion, and your will. Oh, Sister Cherry, also a theologian. Okay. Everyone is a theologian today, okay? Your intellect, your emotion, and your will made up your soul. According to Brother Benjamin, your soul also become renewed?
Yeah, reborn.
Reborn. So, anybody has a different idea? Brother Justin, what happened to your soul when you are born again? Sister John? So, I'm not talking about spirit. Be very clear. Spirit, you are already clear already, right? Your spirit becomes new. Your body, no change. Cannot bluff people, but you cannot go out there and say, come, believe Jesus. Your face become handsome. I know, right? Or you go, by the way, you go and preach to all the fat people. Oh, in Jesus' name, you believe in Jesus, all become skinny, slim. Doesn't happen, right?
Miracle.
So very clear already, but miracle is something else. It's not because you believe in Jesus, you become very handsome, right? But your countenance changed, you know, from a bad man face to a good man face. That's a countenance. Hey, come back to the soul. Don't escape.
Renew.
The mind is renewed. What? You want to argue some more? The mind is renewed. Wow.
So not yet.
Still not yet.
Still daily, still got struggle.
How? No? You say renewed. Then Sister Veronica say renew what? Then Justin say every day still struggle. Contradicting yourself. See, if you are not clear, how do we walk by the Spirit? How are we led by the Spirit?
I think our soul can be both. Like you say, renew, and the other side, sometimes we can also be on the other side. Because we still indwelling us, say we still have our carnal flesh that is controlling the way we think or emotion. Sometimes we can worship God, but sometimes we can still do other things that is not of God.
Everyone agree, huh? Or even more confused now. My what? Brother Joseph say it seems like we have 2%, right? Okay, now let's get to the point. Your soul doesn't get any change. Sadly, your soul don't get any change. No, no change. How you think before you become Christian, after you become Christian, is still how you think. Same way of thinking. How you feel before you become a Christian, after you become a Christian, you mean suddenly you feel differently. Hey, don't lie, you say you're renewed. The way you think, the way you feel, sama, same. That's why Jesus said in Romans chapter 12, this is all biblical, it's not a theory. You have to offer yourself as a sacrifice, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That takes place after you believe in Jesus. Your mind has to be renewed. Nothing changed. That's the process called sanctification. Being made holy, set apart for God. It starts when you believe in Jesus, your spirit changed. Body and soul the same. That's why many people, how they think towards the former gods. I just give an example. This is nothing. Those who are Buddhists, for example, or Hindu, they approach God by knocking their head on the floor, right? Bong, 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 bong. Means they get more favor and they break through for the day, right? Or they put more things, more painful, then to please God. Am I correct? To appease the God, they'll do many things like that. If they can crawl 100 steps, maybe y'all don't know, right? Correct or not? They crawl 100 steps after the up the temple, then they are very blessed. Sure, fat chai, hot chai, or whatever, right? Correct or not? The same way you think, you bring that mind to Christianity. If I serve more, sure God breakthrough one. If I serve God, if I do a lot of things, I'm very active in church, sure God bless me one. Tell me, where is it in the Bible? It is all the result, the product of your old mindset. You bring it to Christianity, you think that is the truth. And you say you are being led by the Holy Spirit. Do you see that or not? Because your mind doesn't change. That's how you approach God. You come to Christianity, now you just change God. Of course, now you have the right God. But your method is still the same. I must do all this to earn my blessing. Mana ada in the Bible? You are blessed not because of what you do, because of what Jesus has done on the cross. That means not fair. What it means that you serve because you obey God, because you love God. If you serve to get something, you are bribing God. Am I right?
Right.
But you are using the same mind. Your soul hasn't changed. The same way you think about a friend who betrays you, when you become a Christian, you go to church, now it's a Christian friend who betray you, you react the same way, you think the same way. You
believe that you're bloody Christian.
The same, outside also got people betray me. Here also got people betray me. I hate it. It's the same way. You think. You haven't allowed the word of God to renew you. To go through the change, metamorphosis. Your mind must change from caterpillar to become a butterfly. To think like Jesus think. To feel like Jesus feel. That's the sanctification process. So when people are not clear, they live a very muddy, confused life. So why do you act like that? You say, because of my flesh. Flesh is the old man. Of how you think, how you feel, before you become a Christian. When I'm small, I react like that because of my background. My parents treat me like that, I'm like that. When I become a Christian, it stays with you. God says it's your responsibility to partner with the Holy Spirit to get rid of it, but to have the mind of Christ. There is a hope for us, not to have the same mind, but to have the mind of Christ. Do you see that? Mind of Christ, the heart of God, the compassion of God. Then you operate differently. Remember the spiritual sensation? When you have the heart of God, the healing gives you a flow. Or when you see based on your own heart, your own emotion, you just feel pitiful lah. You see the, correct or not? You see the beggar, you feel pitiful. Or when you are busy, you see the beggar, you're angry. That's the old emotion still there. But when you have the renewed emotion, that the heart of God, the Holy Spirit can flow to you, you are led by the Holy Spirit. That's the flesh. The portion that has not been renewed, your carnal nature will always come and tell you. Romans, Paul tells us, reckon your old self as dead. Remember a few weeks ago, I talked about the pig, Mrs. Bacon. That symbolizes the old man. Right? He looks at the mud, he cannot stand, she sure wants to go to the mud. The old man will be attracted to the old flesh and old passion. Paul tells us, what's the secret? Consider yourself as dead. How many have seen a dead person before? They're not seeing it. Who? Scared? Huh? Have you ever gone to the coffin, look at a dead person? You have, Justin? Yeah?
Yeah.
Have you ever seen a dead person?
That's a frog. That's a cat. My grandfather, back from the mall.
Oh, you carried, huh? Did you see that?
I carried and put him in my car.
Got like that,
back on my car, I covered with a blanket and took him home.
No, did you see that or not?
Huh?
Did he do like that?
No, he's not frightening.
But he did like that?
No.
No, right? Not frightening because this person cannot respond, cannot react. Paul said, consider your flesh dead. Cannot respond to passion anymore. Man. Can you go and see the dead person on the coffin? Someone you don't like? Can the dead person just jump out and say, okay, no, no. Because you no chance, you no chance, you go to the coffin. Yeah. Then suddenly, you think I died. Sister Rosie cannot sleep tonight.
Don't need.
The fact is, these things don't happen. Correct, no? It's funny because it doesn't happen. Whether you, whatever you do, you won't get any response.
The family will hit you.
Very clever. So you don't do it. Just, yeah, the family of the dead will hit you. Up. You don't show like you close your mouth. You see, Paul is so clever. How do you deal with the old man, the crucified? You reckon it dead. When the temptation comes, when the trigger comes, every time you look at this person, you get angry, right? The next time you look at this person, the anger is there. The old man is there. Will it respond? You understand not? All of us have trigger, right? Huh?
Yes.
Some people will trigger you, some kind of movie will trigger you, or some feeling, some people hungry, they're very angry. You know, right? A lot of people are like that, especially men. This one, men, I'm very fair. Men, when they are hungry, they're angry. You know. They're not finding food, they... Don't laugh, don't like that.
A hungry man is a hungry man.
Don't show like that. Don't, good bit.
Actually, both also. My mother sometimes also will get...
Okay, you are here, you tell her, you say like that.
Sometimes also, I think in both genders the same.
Same gender. So whatever, I'm just giving an example. Hungry, then angry. But they have different trigger. If I just say the wrong words to someone, oh, the fumes will go off. Angry like nobody say, I don't like to hear this. Why you say about this? But if Paul say, reckon that person dead, whatever trigger that come, the anger is there. The old man cannot act, is in a coffin. But each time in our life, we are like that. We do like that. Oh man, the old stuff come out and see. You see, huh? Do you see the struggle? Your flesh? Dead is even. Don't resurrect it. Okay, that's a free lesson. Okay, that's just to understand flesh. Can you understand now? Is it very clear now?
Yes.
Body no change, soul no change, spirit change. After spirit change, spirit also can grow. Soul no change, soul is supposed to be renewed. Your mind must be renewed to become mind of Christ. Your emotion must be renewed to have the emotion of God. your will must be yielded, submitted to God. That's why Jesus himself exemplified the renewed will. Not my will, but yours be done. Wow. That is a renewed will. No more the old will. Do we get that? Is it clear?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Very simple, right? But because we never thought about this, we never clearly understood all this. So that's the context of verses 4 to verses 8. If you have the flesh, you cannot please God. All this, that's why from verse 9 onwards, Paul introduced the very powerful mystery of the ages, the indwelling of the Spirit, Christ in you. It's not there, but he began that mystery. He began to talk about the indwelling Spirit. Right? The indwelling Spirit. You cannot just say, the old man is dead. Then who are you led by? The Holy Spirit is inside you, joined to your spirit. Your spirit is made alive, and then now your spirit is joined to the Holy Spirit as one. That's why if you can identify your own spirit, you can know the sensation of your own spirit, you will more easily, you will know the flow of the Holy Spirit, because your spirit is joined to the Holy Spirit. Are you following? Okay, so that's what Paul said. After you talk about the flesh, now there's this thing called indwelling spirit, right? Indwelling spirit, and we are led from verse 9 onwards, it talks about the secret of the dwelling of the spirit. There's a Holy Spirit that stays in you. Then only we go to Romans chapter 8, verse 14. Then it says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, who is dwelling inside you, you are sons of God. And the climax, it didn't end there. He said, you did not receive the spirit of slavery. Now, Paul is clarifying. You did not receive this type of spirit to take you back into your old man. This spirit is different. It doesn't resurrect your old spirit of slavery to take you back into your old man, your fear. Hey, hello, come, no, watch carefully. But you have received, he clarified, this is a spirit of adoption. To understand this dwelling of the Holy Spirit, this indwelling spirit, you must understand he is the spirit of adoption. Otherwise, you don't capture the essence of what Paul wanted to say. Because it is a spirit of adoption. What will happen? Verse 15, by whom we can cry, Abba, Father. Do you get that? Who is this Holy Spirit that is inside us? It's not a spirit that will take us back to the flesh. Spirit of adoption. Paul now takes on the Greek concept of adoption. Paul is a Jewish person. In a Jewish, Hebraic culture and law, no adoption. But during that time, Greek, there was this thing called adoption. So what happened is, now he said, all of you understand adoption. We are living in a culture of Greek. Adoption means, come and be.
Adoption doesn't mean come Benji lah. Adoption means, for example, this is not Benji lah. This is, just now I say Alan. So this is Michael. Michael is Alan's son. Okay, Michael. Hi, Michael.
Hi.
Call me daddy.
Hi, daddy.
Okay, I'm Michael lah. This is not Benjamin. So don't worry. Don't be jealous lah. I'm Michael. I'm the father, right? This is the son. Adoption is, you take the birth cert, you cancel it, you throw it away, you never know your father as Michael, you go to this one, this is your papa, Joseph.
Okay.
Call papa.
Papa.
Adoption means cancel all the past record. They will have a witness, 7-person witness here, but whatever you owe, whatever your identity, whoever your brother, sister, whoever your parents are, you cancel it in front of the witness, beginning from that onwards. We don't know you anymore. You cannot. You don't call me father. You don't call the rest sibling. Now this is your new family. Your new identity. Your new family. Doesn't mean adoption. Doesn't mean he doesn't have a father first anymore. Now we thought adoption is those in a foster home. No father waiting for people to adopt, right? But in the Greek culture, that's how they do adoption. From a family being adopted to another family, they cancel all the record of the existing and the past concerning that person. You are now in God's family. You have a new... Thank you. Thank you, Michael. Hey, what's I forgot your name now? Michael or Alan or
Benjamin.
No. But I just don't give you what name,
Michael.
Then what was my name?
Alan.
Okay. You're more back. You're more clearer than me. Don't call me father later, no. You see that? And that is key to understanding being led by the Spirit. You must know who you are, your identity, your family. Your past has completely been erased. If any of your past want to keep coming back to you, remind you of something that happened in the past, because those things will affect you in your life. They will keep on leading you in your mind, in your emotion. And you must know who you are. You are a son of God. Wow. Only a son of God can be led by the Spirit, because he has received the Spirit of adoption. You don't have the Spirit of adoption inside you, you don't know who you are. You have the Spirit of slavery, you keep going back. Huh? You thought you are enslaved to your old man, bringing you back to fear. This is according to Paul, okay? I didn't add anything. He said, you did not receive a spirit of slavery, bringing you back to fear. You must know who you are. Your identity, not just here. You must live. I'm a son of God. A lot of people are insecure. They always want to compete. I'm better than him. Always insecure. My family is richer. Always compare with the neighbor. They don't know who they are. If you know who you are, you will not be competing anymore. You are happy. You, out of your mouth, you can sincerely praise other people. Some people cannot praise and feel very, how can I praise him? How can I praise other doctors? I have three doctors, I cannot praise other doctors. You know, I give an example. If I have three daughters, in my eyes, they are the prettiest daughters in the world. But if I'm an insecure person, my daughters are insecure, my wife is insecure, I cannot go and praise another daughter. Why are the girls all so ugly? Some people are like that. Some people are like that, correct or not? Because insecure, man, I cannot say does it make sense? We got such people, right?
Yes.
Sometimes we are like that. We don't point at others also. Correct or not? We go through stages. Sometimes we are like that. You all so ugly. This is just doctors. Insecure pastor, insecure church member, church leader. Oh, you happen to church like that. See? Same, right? Insecure, man. I'm very insecure. Here's so few people only, right?
You mean insecure, they
criticize other church? Insecure. Then they begin to say, let's say for example, I give a live example. Say, you hear so few people. Then I see Kingdom City, so many people. You Kingdom City, not good one.
Insecure.
Yeah, insecure lah. Correct, no?
Yeah.
But if I know who I am, whether I have 5% or I have 10%, I'm the son of God. It doesn't change me. If I have one day 10,000 people, I also cannot be proud. Because I'm still who I am. My identity, my family is the same. Can you get what I'm saying? Then I can operate independent from the security. My security is not based on how many people can come. My security is my identity in Christ Jesus. Do you see the wonder of that? So it is independent of external factor and external circumstances. Inside you, you must have this awakening, this revelation of who you are. It doesn't come through logic. I can memorize the whole verse all about sonship, but if you don't capture this revelation, he is your father. To my wife, it is a real revelation. Because she came from a broken family. So when she knew Jesus as a father. It's a real revelation. She got the revelation earlier than me. Because my family is functioning normally. I cannot imagine. Some people cannot imagine God is their father. They have abusive father. So it must be a revelation. Some fathers are very negligent. So they think the father don't care for them. What you see in your natural father, you wear the same lenses to see the heavenly father. Then you will miss the revelation that the Holy Spirit wants to give you. Amen. Hallelujah. Do you capture it? Pray. If you have struggling with insecurity, pray. Ask God for a revelation of sonship, of who Jesus is. We can look at that at another time. But I want to capture something very important here. When he says, those who are led by the Spirit, they are sons of God. In the Greek word is huios. Everyone say huios.
Huios.
Huios means mature son. Only mature sons can be led by the Spirit. At least 5 different terms in Greek to describe son or child. Number 1,
you start off with, I forgot where I put this. Number one, you are a, you always start as Nepios, son. Nepios, N-E-P-I-O-S. Always pampers on you. You go to church, I have problem, the pastor will change diapers on you. You just got broke, you are just born into the kingdom of God.
Teacher, this person beat me. Teacher, that member gossip about me.
That's Nepios, son. Can a Nepios, son be led by the Spirit? The answer is no. Only Hui, your son. You have Nepios, you grow into Paidon, son. You don't have to know all this. Nepion, Paidon, Technon, Niansikos, and Huios. Okay? The most two most commonly used are Technon and Huios. Technon is a child of God. He has not matured yet, but he begins to have a relationship with God. In John chapter 1, verse 12, he who believes in him have the power to become a son of God. Do you remember that verse? Those who believe Jesus have the power to become a son of God, have a power to become a technon. All of us start Nepios, and somehow most of us stop at technon. We never mature. Okay, I'm going to end very soon. But I don't know how do I describe this, but capture this. Try to capture this. This is very powerful. That will help you in how to be led by the Holy Spirit. It has all to do with your stages of development as a son. You understand? If you want to appreciate how to be led by the Spirit, you must know at what stage you are. When I have my first daughter, Marianne, she's not here, I mean she's sleeping, right? I subscribe to this email called Baby Center. Baby Center is a very comprehensive information provider. Justin, jot down. Next time I have a child, I must. I'm just kidding. Hey, you know, good, give you good things, one. Do one, Benjamin. Where does jot down Baby Center? What does it do? Every week, it sends you an information. Week one baby. He'll describe week one baby. Chum-chum, you know. What do they need? Week two. Year one, 3 months baby. But you key in your information. When was she born? Then you say, your daughter today is week two. Chun Chun, they'll tell you. Now she needs this kind of toys. You get shocked. You go and buy. Then she start playing the toys. Every stage of a child, they need different things. They need to learn to their fine motor skill, gross motor skill. Right? Born, straight away, born, you go and buy Lego for him. You understand? Some people who do not know when buy present for birthday for children. Hey, how old is he? 5 years old. Don't know what to buy. You go and buy encyclopedia. Does it make sense? you know, different age gets different gifts. Significant to me because my first daughter tomorrow is 12 years old. 1st December is her birthday. Oh, my eldest daughter is 12 years old only. 12 means supposed to be in the Jewish one, 12 years old is they have to go through the bar mitzvah or something. They are considered big grown up already. Right? Coming of age, that's right. Coming of age is 12 years old. So see, what is your stage now? Do you understand what I'm saying? Just like I gave you an example. Week what? Year what? Sometimes I still remember, they say terrible two. When a child reach year two, they are terrible. they will fight with every child in town. And they won't play with every child. And they describe that stage. So you have Nepios, and you're a baby, up to Huios. At what stage are you now growing in the eyes of God before we become Huios? Listen carefully. You will know what is God doing then. God doesn't have to subscribe to the baby center to know this person. Week 3, now need this. Correct or not? God in his infinite wisdom thinks that, oh, now Benjamin is this age, Justin is this age, he needs this, he needs that. God will arrange the perfect circumstance for that person to grow at that age. Correct? Correct? 1 year old 6 months, can I go and feed my baby pizza? Choked to death, right? Hello? Those who have fed their children before. Right? 6 months. Wow, this pizza very nice. Oh. Let me let my baby try. You force it in. No teeth. Force. Do you see or not? You will learn that below 12 months, there are many allergies. Better don't let them have eggs. I still can remember. Nuts, all don't try yet. Correct or not? Before, below 2 years, 12 months, don't give them all that. Will God give you something at your stage which you are not supposed to get? No. God is even a 100% greater Father. So that is why you must know what stage of development you are. Then you will recognize the circumstances that you are facing now is the most perfect, conducive environment to make you to grow to the next level. Hallelujah. And everything that happens at that stage is best for you. If you cannot grow, it keeps coming until you grow. Correct? You feed the baby, in Hokkien you say you don't want to chi liao bi. You don't want to feed, no point. You feed, you cannot grow. Wasted your rice. Correct not? So you keep feeding. You see a child who is more skinny, you feed more. At that age, they are supposed to eat this, but they are skinny. Or you see, you try to feed more. Now you have sustagen, you have anna, whatever, all kinds of thing. Feed more to be able to grow. So what you face is the best for you to grow. The final destination is for you to be huios. Listen carefully. Only mature son can receive inheritance. Exactly the same in the Bible. Correct or not? If the father is very rich, I have 3 Rolls Royce, 3 Bentleys, 3 BMWs. Can I give to 5 years old, my child? 12 years old, can I give? Not who yours yet. I'm rich. I write in my will. I am ready to give them. These are my inheritance. You are not who yours yet. The world is waiting for the manifestation of the huios of God, of the mature sons of God. The world is not waiting to see all the baby all come out. Behold, this is the kingdom of God. The angels announce. Behold, this is the kingdom of God. All the baby come out. You cannot help the world, right? The angel pronoun. Behold, the huios of God. All come with weapons. All come with, all equipped to bring salvation to the world, to preach the gospel of the kingdom to the end of the earth. Wow. All that you have gone through is worth it. At that point, at the Kairos moment, for you to step into your destiny, you're well equipped. Maybe you have a lot of scars. I have to go through this. I go through this hurt, this bitterness, this betrayal. All those you went through, you overcome. Like every child, he fell down. When he cycled, I also fell down. I have marks to prove. I always tell my daughter, you ride bicycle, you fall down. I also have a mark. All this to show, now I can ride bicycle. I can ride a motorcycle. How do I know? I have a license. Same in the spirit world. You grow, you are given a license. I can cast out that demon. I've cast it out before. Some people just know it only, read only. But come to a possessed person. But I know I have a license. I learned that in Indonesia. I don't know why God trained me. Not in a Bible school, in a mission field. I go there, I go and pray people possessed. First experience in Malaysia, in an Indonesian church. I went there, preached 1-2, and they said, hey, Pak, boleh datang lah? I thought about anything, remember? Ada rasul, oh yo, they have to hold the learn. As the girl, speak in Myanmar, and the girl, possessed by the man, Myanmar spirit. Cannot do. So I have a license in the spirit. Hey, don't play. Demons will ask for license.
there will be demon policemen. Mana lesen? Mana lesen? Huh. Really one? Really one?
That's
why
expired.
I'm not joking. That's why some people, you go, lah, you go. I go. These are signs of maturity. Why God put you in there? Now you have patience, you have love. No, all these things are eternal one. It's not I have $1 million, I have $1 million. Behold the kingdom of God, all dry groceries for what? Not wrong, but some are financial lah. To bless these people to go and do other things. There are such things also. God will also transfer the wealth of the wicked in the end times. Yeah. That is such a thing. But if it is not led by the Spirit, the kingdom financier, throw money everywhere. Every Tom Dick, Pastor Tom, Pastor Dick, Pastor Harry will get $1 million. Sooner or later, your pocket also zero. Oh, yeah. You see, or not? Kingdom financier also must be led by the Spirit.
I just get crying. Brother Joseph, my ministry, my ministry need help. You know, Brother Joseph moved with pity.
Not compassion, pity. Pity is human, compassion is from God. Move with pity. Kesian. Then go to and talk to the wife. Kesian, the pastor. No food to eat. Must be led by the Spirit also. Amen. So coming back to that. He who is led by the Spirit are Son of God. How to know being led by the Spirit? Look at what stage of development you are. Cooperate with God. Because that development is for that stage of sonship. For that state of sonship. You and I may not have reached Huios yet. When you are at Huios, you are mature. You can lead other people. That's different. When you are Nepios, when you are Paidon, when you are Technon, some are still very absorbed by themselves. You know, some children, they just play games themselves. They only think about themselves only. So many Christians also think about themselves only. Me, pray for me, pray for my dog, pray for my cat, pray for my son, pray for my house. Not mature, not wrong. They are that stage. About 5, 6 years old, child, and then. We have to grow. That's the reason we have to grow. How does God give us the vitamin? Through the circumstances we go through, we overcome. We get license through scars, through all the tears that we go through. Every trial has a purpose. When you see that purpose, you will cooperate with the Holy Spirit. And you will be sensitive to the leading of the Spirit because it will always be compatible with the stage you are. With the stage that you are, you will not expect the Holy Spirit to lead you at a different stage. You can imagine, you imagine yourself like a mighty healer evangelist. No, you can imagine as you're that stage, Holy Spirit is leading you at that stage. Are you following me? Do you see that? Okay, I'll end. Because there are many things that we can talk about. Maybe some other days we look at it. You see, so what do we need is an indication of the Spirit is leading. Two things, When you know what stage you are, you can cooperate with God. You know what is God doing. But you must also know at that stage, what do you need? Is it more love you need? More faith you need? You understand? Is it more? Does your faith needs an upgrading? Your love needs an upgrading? That is the indication of the Spirit's leading. I need more love. If in this area I go, I will grow in my love. The Holy Spirit is leading me in this area. You see, I need this for my growth now. It's an indication of the Spirit's leading. I'm struggling with patience. I'm struggling with lust. I'm struggling with this worry. This area, this is the food I need to eat now. This is the Holy Spirit leading me now. Hallelujah. I end with what I started just now. I said a man led by the Spirit is like a man guided by the wind, right? I read to you a vision. If you have heard of Heidi Baker before?
Yes.
Yes, no, never mind. Heidi Baker is a missionary in Mozambique. Heidi Baker, he received a vision a few years ago about the end time. She said, I was taken up to heaven. I was suspended above the earth. I looked down upon the earth, surrounded by a globe with thousands and thousands of chariots. You know chariots, right? Chariots. They were chariots of fire carrying glory.
They were the glory. They were carrying the glory of God. Inside each chariot sat two saints of God. The saints were totally transparent. Listen carefully. They were totally transparent. Nothing was hidden inside them. There was no darkness. Nothing disguised. Nothing was covering them. They were transparent, full of glory, full of light. There was only one thing of color inside each saint. It was this huge, huge heart that went from shoulder to shoulder. There's this heart, she can see. It was a heart beating with love and passion. It was huge, red heart. And I looked up to heaven and there was Jesus. Oh, there was Jesus. He's so beautiful. He's so beautiful. His eyes of love were looking upon me. They were melting me and causing my heart to grow bigger still. I saw his heart and it was beating. He saw the heart of Jesus beating. I heard it beating. And then I looked in the chariots at the saints of God. Each heart, each huge heart of love was beating in the rhythm and the heartbeat of Jesus. Wow. She was seeing the end time vision of the end time saints. All in a chariot, two persons, all in one chariot. Their big heart, red color, beating to the rhythm and heartbeat of Jesus. Are you following me? The saints had a sword in their hand. Each one held a gleaming sword of white gold, and flames of fire were coming off the sword. Okay, I go down a bit. I know. This, then they were on the horse, on the chariot, right? Every chariot, there were two horses. Two white horses were beautiful and magnificent. They were ready to run. Their veins on their necks were bulging out, and they had bits in their mouth. Listen to this. Their reins were reaching straight up to heaven. You know what's a rein? You know, horse, you hold a rein, right? Their reins were reaching straight up to heaven. The Lord Jesus said to me, tell the church to release control. I will hold the reins to this revival. I will decide where the chariots run. Tell the church, release the reins to me. Holy is the Lamb. And then I saw the Lord's right hand straight above his head, and he cried, now! And his right hand went down. The chariots of fire, these chariots of glory, began to run. They ran across the face of the earth, and as the chariots ran across the face of the earth, this fire, this glory fire, fell upon the earth, burning it up. The earth was set ablaze with the glory fire. But there were pockets on earth that resisted. They resisted the glory, even the love of Jesus. And these pockets upon the earth became dark, hideous, and darkness like nothing I have ever seen. Holes of hideous darkness like something I could have ever imagined. I'm not going to continue. But look here. What a beautiful picture. I said, a person led by the Spirit is led by a wind. Handy Baker saw this vision. The horse is a picture of power. Horse is a picture of Holy Spirit. When we are sitting on a horse, the Holy Spirit, we always hold the rein. Go here. Go there. A beautiful picture of being led by the Spirit is the rein goes straight up to heaven. God is holding the rein. Where the wind wants to blow, we allow the horse to bring us. It's not going to be a nice ride if we are not used to it. Imagine you ride on a horse, you don't hold anything, you know, go here, then you go. Go fast, you go fast, you don't hold the rein. That is a beautiful picture of being led by the Spirit. R-E-I-N. R-E-I-N. Rein. Rein. That's being led by the Spirit. When you release control to God, you fully surrender, you trust God. At what stage we are, God does the best, God prepares the best. We allow the Holy Spirit to lead us. Wow, it's a beautiful picture. You release control to God. You're not holding that anymore. You don't decide where to go, what to do. It's the Holy Spirit. That's the beautiful picture of the end time revival. Come, let's stand. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you. for the word that we have heard, we have shared, we have listened today. We thank you for the revelation from your word of the beauty of being led by the Holy Spirit. God, you love each one of us so much that you died on the cross for us. You died on the cross for us so that we no longer have to live under condemnation. And when we do not live under condemnation, you have also made a way for us that the flesh is to be crucified on the cross. That we reckon this flesh dead. Because when we die, when we were baptized, our old man died on the cross. And what comes up is the new man. The man who has the Holy Spirit dwelling inside us. We are all new creation because our spirits are joined with your spirit. Lord, we want to learn how to be led by your Holy Spirit. God, we never knew, God, that the syllabus of what you want to teach us is in the circumstances, in the trials, in the people we meet, in the troubles, in the problems we face. All these have been arranged by you in our lives so that we do not stop being a Nepios child, a baby child. Your destiny for each one of us is to be the mature Huios, the mature Son of God, who will represent the Father. When Jesus was baptized and when he came up from the water, you say, "This is my Huios, in whom I am well pleased." You are waiting for each one of us to grow, to be the Huios in whom you are well pleased. God, the more we cooperate with you, the process is accelerated. We will become more like Jesus. Jesus is the first fruit. He is the mature Son of God in whom you are well pleased, Lord. And Father, I thank you for all of us here. You have chosen us. You have appointed us for a glorious destiny ahead of us, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Notwithstanding whatever we are facing today, we take heart because we have this hope in you. We thank you, Lord. Right now, at this moment, we want to learn to submit ourselves to you, to yield control to you, Lord. We will say, "It is well with our soul." Whatever we are facing, brother and sister, whatever you are facing now, whatever I'm facing now, know that it is for your good, for my good, from the eyes of God. Not to harm us, not to destroy us, but to bring us to the next level of sonship. And my brother, my sister, remember, it is the spirit of adoption that is indwelling inside you. Do not let the past shape you. Do not let the past possess you, direct you, instruct you how to live. You and I are a new creation. The old is gone. We have all the old records are all burnt up in the front of the seven witnesses. The seven spirits are gone. And we are new creation. Whatever debt in the past in the spirit realm has all been paid. So why not take this time? Pray to God. Ask God, "God, bring me to the next level